Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Craig Varjabedian. He is a photographer, and his new book is called The Eloquence of Trees. And Maria Franco Tapia is here from Heifer International. And there will be a book signing for The Eloquence of Trees tomorrow, Saturday, the 18th of December, from 2 to 4 at the Gerald Peters Gallery here in Santa Fe. And the photographs from the book will be displayed there till the end of the year. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you. Now, let's talk about this compilation of photographs. It looks like it's many years worth of photographs. Is this a long-term project that you've always had in mind, or are you culling from photographs of trees that you happen to take along the way?
It's a little more complicated than that. Actually, in a very real sense, the book sort of tells my career through the tree photographs that I made over the years.
Can you say more about that?
The earliest photograph, I think, goes back to the mid-70s. And the most recent photograph was made in the fall of this year that's in the book. And I began to sort of see that I had created this body of work over the years, not intentionally intending to do it, but it just ended up developing all by itself.
And so when you went to pick and choose for this beautiful, fairly slim volume, what were your criteria? How did you make the selection?
I was looking for strong expressions. That was really the important thing. There were hundreds of photographs that could have gone into this book, but limitations of publishing sort of narrowed that down, certainly. But I was looking for images that really kind of resonated with not only what it was like to be in that place when I photographed them, so that I could then share the experience with somebody who was viewing the image, but also the strength of the tree itself. You know, I just sort of think I think of trees as being sort of sentient beings, and they're out there in the world, and they, while they're anchored, you know, into the ground by their roots, you know, I think they're very much alive. And I get this very strong sense that I'm with my people, in
well,
a sense.
It's funny that you say that, because I was thinking exactly the same thing when I was looking at the photographs. I was thinking, these are like people, and these are like portraits of people.
Yeah, they are.
And sometimes you take a portrait of an individual in its natural setting, and sometimes you take a portrait of a community, which is a bunch of trees together, and they understand each other, and you understand them in relation to each other.
Exactly.
And it kind of makes one feel the empathy that we sentient beings, that's a sort of a Buddhist phrase, but that we people have for other communities that are not human communities.
Absolutely. There's an image, for example, of a tree that exists on a piece of property up near La Madera, and it's a cottonwood tree. And it was huge, and I was surprised when I took the thing and I measured it after I'd photographed it, and I went to the Extension Service here in Santa Fe and found out this thing was 400 years old. Now, if you put that into the context of our history, you realize when this thing was a sapling, the Apaches were raiding the Hispanic villages in this little valley. So trees are also markers of, you know, our human history, in that they certainly exist, many of them anyway, exist well beyond the lifespan of most people.
Most people, and in fact, many communities entire nations.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Well, I've got pictures of trees in this book that go back to the time of Christ. I mean, it's a remarkable thing.
There's trees that old?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, old cedars, for example.
2,000 years old.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah.
And so I think part of the beauty of the book is once you get into that kind of mind space, you realize that we rely on trees.
Don't we, though?
And they're kind of our, I was thinking of them sort of as I was looking at the photographs, they're kind of our wise big brothers who stand very still and give us the air that we breathe.
Absolutely.
Our big sisters.
And the shade that we sit under when it's, you know, it's hot outside.
Right.
You know, and they provide visual beauty. As we look at them this morning, for example, covered with snow. Yeah.
I was thinking also, there's a lot of kind of new age stuff about consciousness that, and I get a little bit irritated when there's, I shouldn't say that, but anyway. But then when you think about the environment and you think about the consciousness that people have about trees or don't have about trees, that have about their neighbors or don't have about their neighbors. When you have a relationship that you clearly do to trees, to nature, and you stimulate that in others and kind of maybe encourage them to form their own relationships with the nature that's out there, well, that increases a kind of consciousness that then perhaps, if we're lucky, gives rise to a more friendly attitude toward the environment and willingness to acknowledge how important it is, not just something to be exploited.
Well, we need to certainly be kinder to the environment. There's no question about that. And I think that it's really sort of interesting, too, that people will just simply blithely cut trees down. You know, they'll just take them down because they're in our way, you know. And I never think of trees as being in our way. I think of them as being, you know, my friends. And maybe part of the problem, too, is that they're ubiquitous to some extent. I mean, if you just sort of look out the window, you see trees. You don't understand that maybe this one is an elm, and this one is a cottonwood, and this one is a pine, and this one is something, you know, an aspen or something. And but yet you think about the gifts that trees give back to us, you know, aside from the you know, providing us, you know, cleaning our air, for example. You know, we think about the fall here in New Mexico, how absolutely glorious fall is. I mean, it's probably one of the most magical times in our state is when the mountainsides of the state turn yellow. I mean, think about how magical that is. You know, it's as brilliant as the colors of the walls of this great restaurant we're sitting in this morning, you know. I mean, it's
which are very brilliant yellow, ladies and gentlemen.
But my point only is that you think about this, it turns almost technicolor out there. It's almost a Fantasia movie when we reach our peak of color. Because it's not really just yellow like the walls in this place are, but there are shades of red in there, there are shades of green in there, there are shades of various other things that end up hiding within all of that color.
And now, is that why you do black and white photography?
Absolutely. Because the reason, and that's a good question, the reason I make black and white photographs is that I think it's so easy to become overwhelmed by the color and that you don't see the form. You don't see the object in and of itself. You see all that yellow and you go, oh, you know, isn't that great? But all of a sudden it becomes kind of a panorama of color and not a panorama of trees. And I think that distinction is really important to understand as a viewer, that when you look at things, to not just see the surface of things, but to also see the depth.
We're talking to Craig Varjabedian about his new book, The Eloquence of Trees. And so you do black and white photography. Are there some infrared photographs in there?
They look that way, I know.
They do, but I didn't think you did that kind
of
photography.
Not as a matter of course, no. All of the images that you see kind of have that sense of them because of the time of year that I photographed them in. They were photographed in the fall.
Oh, okay.
And so those bright yellow leaves.
That yellow we're talking about, yes.
Turns into shades of gray, you know.
And so they look very bright and luminous.
I hope so. I mean, that's certainly my intention when I make the prints. You know, I mean, I want them to have a sense of the light. I'm really fascinated with the way the light falls upon these trees because it just shimmers. You know, it fluoresces. It moves, you know, in a beautiful visual way that probably better for people to see the actual pictures than for me to try to explain it through the radio. But
yeah, good point. So let's turn for a moment to Maria Franco Tapia, who is with Heifer International. Now, this is a benefit for Heifer.
Yeah, and let me just say, too, that this book was created with some friends of mine who publish beautiful fine art photography books called Photo Book Press in Minneapolis. And we basically decided to get together to create something and give back. And we both myself and Photo Book Press and Margaret Telfer, who owns Photo Book Press, are huge fans of Heifer International.
And Heifer International, Maria, you've been on the show once before.
Yes, I have.
Tell us about this organization.
It started in 1944. The founder was Dan West, and he was a relief worker in the late 1930s in the Spanish Civil War. So he went over there, and he was ladling milk in the bowls of both sides of the conflict, and he kept seeing the same people coming back into line. And he just went back home, and he thought to himself, well, that's not really working out very well. Maybe giving them heifers, which that was the first project was in Puerto Rico. 18 heifers were taken over there. And he just decided, well, maybe we could train communities on how to provide for themselves to become self-reliant. And so that was the concept, that was the first idea, and ever since then it's been very successful. We do work with more than 30 types of animals, not just heifers anymore, so we do work all over the world as well as here in the USA. So the concept is that we give families the living loan, which is an animal, or trees. So we're talking about trees today,
Greg.
So, and a lot of people don't know that we work with trees and seedlings. So that's why I'm glad we're on the show to share that message that people can also give gifts of trees.
So what basically people can do, and it's nice that we're here right before Christmas time, because, and we talked about another thing like this last week in the alternative gifts market, but what they can do with Heifer International is I can give you, Craig Varjabedian, as a Christmas gift, a goat. But the goat doesn't go to you. The goat goes to somebody somewhere who needs it.
Yes. Yes, it does. So your loved one would get a beautiful honor card, because that you can either get it online or we can send you one. And your loved one or your friend can get an honor card, and it'll say on there, thank you for the gift that you gave. But the actual animal or tree seedlings will go to a family in need.
And where are these families?
We work in 4 program areas, Africa, Asia, South Pacific, Las Americas, and Central and Eastern Europe. So this is where we work.
And tell us some of the stories. You must have a million of them, but tell us a few stories of somebody, some family, some person who received, let's say, a sheep or a flock of ducks.
Well, so many stories, of course. I myself have been to Honduras 3 times. I have been to the Navajo Nation projects. I have been to other projects around the U.S. I mean, we have helped more than 13.6 million people since 1944. In 2009 alone, we helped 1.63 million families. So if I am to choose one of those stories, I'll have to go with one of my own personal experiences, because I think a personal story just says so much, because of when you hear somebody sharing their personal story, you see their expression on their face, you see the gladness that they have for seeing in seeing somebody really become self-sufficient. So my story that I will choose for today is when I went to Honduras for the second time in 2007, and I saw this lady. We went up to her home, and her name is Maria, and Maria is a mother of several children who did not have anything whatsoever, because in some countries, in many countries, women are not equal to men. So it was important, it is very important for Heifer, for gender equity to be part of our cornerstones. And that is something that I saw in those projects, that I saw her just cheerfully share about her goat story, how she sold the milk. And how
so
she
basically
provided.
She got a goat.
Yes, she did.
Some nice Santa Fean or somebody, shelled out a few bucks and gave her a goat. How did she find out that somebody in the United States wanted to give her a goat?
Well, Heifer International is well known in some of these rural communities, because, you know, when we go into a community, we help everybody in the community. And then other communities see the success in that community, so then they reach out to the staff people that are there in that country,
right,
or that community. So we do help an entire community, and that's how people learn about us, is because they hear about other successes in their neighboring village.
So back to Maria. She's a single mother. Mm-hmm. She gets a goat.
She gets a goat. She even before she gets the goat, she receives a lot of training. We make sure that our project partners are trained in not only how to take care of the animal, which is basic animal husbandry skills, but in order to do that, she learns what to do for it before she receives the animal. So she learns about zero grazing. She learns about compost. She learns how to take care of the animal. She learns about planting trees, planting plants for fodder. She learns that zero grazing is very important. And zero grazing, if I may explain for a few seconds, is that in many countries, the poor farmer is forced to go out to the mountains where there's more erosion, hillsides, you know. And so it's not very safe up there. The animals are roaming around. And so with zero grazing, it protects the animal from predators.
What is it?
What we do is we teach the project partners to build a pen for the animal. The animal has enough space to have its exercise and a space with shade, of course, so the animal is safe in that pen. And then they collect the manure for compost, and that is used to fertilize its organic fertilizer. So zero grazing is very important. It's a very important principle in our work. It's fundamental. It's called agroecology. And so Maria learned about all of that even before she received the goat. Once she received the goat, she learned how to milk it. Then she provided for her family. Then she learned how to sell the extra milk. She learned how to make products, cheese, yogurt. And then goats can have 2 to 3 kids.
Well, what I was going to say, where does she get the male goat so that they can continue reproducing goats?
Well, because heifer works with an entire community. That means that the entire community will get goats, and then they share.
I see. You know,
so they make sure that everybody has a chance to have a goat, that has the opportunity, of course, to not only help the family, but to provide 2 or 3 kids a year.
So the culture of a village, of a community, can really be affected by that.
Yes, it's all about self-reliance. It's all about passing on the gift. Once Maria received her goat, then she promised that the first offspring will go to another needy family that's already waiting for a goat. So she passed on that gift. And not only did she pass on the first offspring, but she passed on her training, her knowledge, everything that she acquired with heifers training.
So if, let's say, I'm going to give Craig a goat for Christmas, do I find out, is there any way for me to know how it's going in the community to which that goat went?
Specifically, we don't have the capability to record where your goat from Santa Fe went. All we can say is what you ordered. Of course, we can take records at the donor side, but we can tell you that a community received, you know, goats. We can tell you how that community is doing. You can even go to a study tour, which we offer. People don't know that we offer study tours, and you can sign up for one and go visit a community yourself.
So you can go to Honduras or Africa?
Yes, you can.
Interesting.
You can just go online and see what study tours are available this coming year.
Now, this organization, does it have a Christian background to it?
It was founded under Christian principles. But in the 80s, we became neutral, and it's only because we wanted to reach out to everybody. And so now we are able to reach out to, and we want them to reach out to us as well. So we don't want them to feel like they have to be a certain religion.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, our mission is to end world hunger and poverty in the whole world. So it's not, and to everybody, equally.
Exactly. And that website is heifer.org, H-E-I-F-E-R. Heifer.org is Heifer International. And the proceeds from the book is a benefit for Heifer International.
Absolutely.
The book, The Eloquence of Trees.
Yep.
And we didn't talk about the essay in the book because the essayist couldn't come because of the snow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of a meditation on trees,
yeah.
The essay. And it's a lovely contemplation about what trees do for us, similar to what we were talking about a moment ago,
right.
About what trees do and what they provide us, and ask so little in return, really, when you put it into a kind of a context.
And there's some beautiful quotations also, besides this lovely essay, there's quotations throughout the book that are really great. Did you choose them?
We did, yeah. Yeah, they were, we started with almost 100 quotations and started looking for, you know, kind of a synergy between the quotes that we chose and the photographs themselves. And sometimes the photograph would literally call for a quote. There's a quote in there by Dostoevsky that talks about talks about a leaf.
A leaf.
Yeah, and it was just such a perfect fit.
Yeah, it's a beautiful quotation.
Isn't it lovely?
People should look at this book.
Yeah, well, thanks.
It really is good. Because the thing about, I was thinking about, here are these trees, and we're kind of talking about the trees as individuals and as part of a community, and then you talk about the leaves, and they're kind of like, it gives rise to a contemplation of what is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an individual leaf, there's an individual tree, there's an individual community of trees, and all of them are involved in this kind of relationship that goes from the cell to the mountainside.
And it happens so quickly when you really think about it. You know, I mean, that a leaf in and of itself, you know, starts in the spring and matures, then it changes color. And then it dies, you know, and it happens in a very short length of time when you put it in the context of human history. You know, we typically, people live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You know, a leaf lives 6, 7, 8 months. You know,
it's a remarkable thing. Become sort of a metaphor for our own lives.
They really do. They really do, yeah.
Craig Varjabedian's new book is called The Eloquence of Trees. And once again, he will be doing a book signing tomorrow from 2 to 4 at the Gerald Peters Gallery here in Santa Fe. And the photographs from the book will be displayed at that gallery until the end of the year. What is your website?
www.craigvarjabedian.com.
And if you don't know how to spell that, go to santafe.radiocafe.org.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Maria Franco Tapia is from Heifer International, which once again is heifer.org. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Mary Shaw, thanks a lot.
We're going to take a little break, and when we're back, we'll be with Rob DeWalt, speaking of the arts. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt, joining us by phone from his winter wonderland hideaway, where he is snowed in. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
I got a photograph from you on email of your front door with about a foot and a half of snow right up the front.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 foot snowdrift in front of the front door.
Well, I'm glad that you're not trying to get out into this madness.
No, I've called a personal snow day.
Okay, sounds good. But luckily, the Pasatiempo is out, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican, which is the wonderful organization for which you work. So, what's going on this weekend, if anybody can get out their front door?
There's actually a ton of art openings. This always happens right before Christmas. I would say probably 20 or 30 just on Friday and Saturday. So I'll just go off and read a few. First, we have over at 8 Modern on Delgado Street, David X. Levine is having a show of his graphite pencil drawings called She Kept Her Heart Parked on a Hill. And I interviewed David earlier last week, and there's a story in today's PASA on page 52. Let's see, what else? We have Mark Navarro Gallery at 520 Canyon Road, Vintage Mexican Silverwork by the late silversmiths Hector Aguilar, Antonio Pineda, and William Spratling. There's a reception tonight at 5 p.m. That's up through December 23rd. There's tons of openings all over town. And like you said, if you can dig yourself out. You know, it's Saturday. New Concept Gallery on Canyon Road is having a group show of small works and winter scenes, which seems appropriate. And there's a reception on Saturday from 1 to 7 p.m. Gosh, there's all kinds of openings. Are there any you want to mention?
Well, being the random person that I am who reads things in the order that they came in an email rather than by category, I will say some other things that are going on, and we'll get to art as it comes up. But Somos un Pueblo Unido is having their 15th anniversary celebration tomorrow night, and it's at the New Mexico History Museum. And from 6 to 7, they're having a mariachi event and cocktails and hanging out. And then there's a dinner from 7 to 9. And Luis Alberto Urrea, who's the wonderful author whom we had on this show a while back, talking about Into the Beautiful North, which is a novel, a really great and funny novel about immigration, but it makes it sound all political and polemical. It's just really a great story. Anyway, that's tomorrow night, so it's from 6 to 9 in the evening, and the exhibit there at the museum is called Threads of Memory. For tickets, you can call 424-7832. And Somos un Pueblo Unido is an immigrants' rights organization.
That's great. If you pick up the Pasa Tiempo and read my column, or if you've already heard the news, we have a couple of music venue obituaries to announce. Mike's Music Exchange out in El Dorado is having its last round of concerts this weekend before it closes for a while to restructure as a nonprofit.
Oh, great.
So there is, well, if you go to mikesmusicexchange.com, you can find out what the shows are. I know one of them is Jono Manson is going to be out there singing with Donald Rubenstein on December 19th. And also Santa Fe Brewing Company Pub and Grill is going to be doing some restructuring. They'll be closed for a little while. I think there'll be some intermittent concerts there, but the December 17th performance by Boris McCutcheon and the Salt Licks is going to be pretty much their last for a little while anyway. If you go to their website, you can see what concerts have been canceled if you've already purchased tickets. Boris just put out a new album. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's on my Christmas list of things to get music lovers in today's Soundwaves and Pasa Tiempo. So, you know, I know everyone has given these music venues as much support as they could, and, you know, it's tough out there. So if you can make it out, go and support those guys this weekend and you know, let them know that you're gunning for them in the future.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now,
Mike's Music Exchange is great.
Yeah, good. Very important. And live music, what would we be without it? I wish I got out more.
We'd be bored.
Yeah, we'd be just completely electronic in the brain. Let's see. We also have, I want to talk about the artisan market. 50 artists showing at the Santa Fe Farmers Market building every Sunday. And they're having a holiday fair the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. So I guess that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday from 10 to 4. So if you are Christmas shopping, you can make it down to the Farmers Market building and buy locally and support our local arts community at the same time.
Here's a cool thing. This, I think it's actually on Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. out at Cerritos Hills State Park. Peter Lipscomb, who is a ranger out there, and he's an astronomer extraordinaire, is going to be leading a near full moon walk and giving tips for observing the lunar eclipse, which happens, I believe, on the 20th. I think
nice.
It starts in Santa Fe. You can start seeing
Is it
Santa
a major
Fe.
Eclipse? Is it like an almost full eclipse?
It's a total lunar eclipse. It's the only lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse this month. We have winter solstice, the lunar eclipse, and there's something else. The way Peter explained it to me is it's a celestial trifecta. And it's the first of it's the only one of its kind until 2094.
Celestial trifecta.
Yeah, celestial trifecta. So if you it's the Cerritos Hills State Park is out there off County Road 59, which is near the village of Cerritos, and you know, you might have to dig yourself out of the driveway to get there. There's a small price per vehicle. If you call 474-0196, you can get more information on that walk. But don't forget to watch the lunar eclipse. It's going to be awesome.
And in the meantime, if you want to make yourself laugh, here's what you do. Go to YouTube and put in the search box Total Eclipse of the Heart Literal Version and watch it. It is sick. It's so funny. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. Folk Art Market is having a holiday sale as well at the Inn and Spa of Loretto from 10 to 6. They're going to have 2,000 one-of-a-kind handmade gifts to select from, and they're all from Folk Art Market artists, and the proceeds will benefit the folk artists and their cultural traditions as well as the Folk Art Market itself. So yet another way to go Christmas shopping this weekend.
That's great.
If you do things at the last minute, as I do.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm not even done yet. I was going to do some today, but I don't think
done.
That's going to happen.
Talk about starting.
Moving People Dance has a new holiday show called Once Upon a Snowfall.
Yay.
And it's a new work. It's tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Greer Garson Theater over there at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. I understand that the college is closed for classes today, but this performance will hopefully go on.
Yes.
And there's a performance Saturday at 7:30, and there's another performance Sunday at 2 p.m., so you can catch a matinee. The street should be clear. The traffic won't be as bad. It'll be light out.
Has anybody seen a snowplow?
Has anybody seen a snowplow?
Have you seen a snowplow? Well, you're not even there. I have not yet seen one.
I've seen sand trucks, but I haven't seen any snowplows. Took me an hour and a half to do a 23-minute drive last night.
Yeah, it is odd. I think we need to be a little more like Colorado, because we think it never snows or it melts right away, but actually the roads get really dangerous. I skidded last night, and it was really scary. The Lenzing Performing Arts Center presents the National Theater live new production of Hamlet in high definition tonight at 7 o'clock. It's the National Theater, let's see, is that the National Theater of London? Where are they from? Yes, it is. Live performance from Britain's great stages, bringing it to cinemas worldwide. And so this high-definition live theater, opera, etc., is, I think it's catching on like wildfire.
Like wildfire.
Wildfire. We know about that. Anyway, that's happening at the Lenzing.
There are certain traditions that happen every year, and we have the Young Native Artists Arts and Crafts Sale that's happening in the John Gaw Meme Room at the Palace of the Governors from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. And on Sunday, that is also from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's no charge to get in. And just take the Washington Avenue entrance to get in there at the John Gaw Meme Room and show your support for the Podal Artist kids, who always do some awesome work. There's a Winter Solstice Labyrinth Walk from 2 to 4 p.m. on Milner Plaza up there at the Museum of International Folk Art. And you can call 983-9747 to get more info on that.
Santa Fe Pro Musica performs a Baroque Christmas on December 19th, what is that, Sunday, I guess, at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and then the 21st through the 24th at 6 and 8, and then you get Christmas off, and then the 26th at 6 and 8. And so, let's see, music of Rameau, music of Vivaldi, music of Bach, music of Telemann, all sorts of good things, and Christmas carols. And so check out Santa Fe Pro Musica. Wonderful music, wonderful concert. SantaFePromusica.com.
Here's some more concerts coming up. On Monday, the Santa Fe Concert Band is holding its annual holiday music concert at 7 p.m. at the Lenzing Performing Arts Center over there on West San Francisco Street. There's no tour charge for that, and there's a story in today's PASA on page 34. Also, carols and lullabies. The Santa Fe Desert Chorale presents Renaissance music, Baroque motets for double choir, and original compositions and arrangements of holiday favorites at 8 p.m. at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi on Monday. And that starts at 8 p.m. You can go over to the Lenzing box office at ticketsantafe.org and find out more info on that. Again, there's a story in today's Pasatiempo.
And Joe Hayes will be speaking and signing books at Clearlight Book Gallery tomorrow, Saturday, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the Drepung Losaling monks, whom we had on the air not too long ago, and Santa Fe Tibetans will give a benefit performance of sacred music and dance tomorrow, Saturday, at James A. Little Theater. You can get tickets at the door. And it's always great to have the monks. We always have them in here every year, and they come into the cafe, and they do that deep, profound bass throat singing. I love it.
If you want, here's something else that's profound. It's happening on Saturday at 9, I believe. No, Friday at 9, Saturday at 8:30, the Jewel Box Cabaret Ho Ho Holiday Show. The Silver Starlight Lounge over there at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe on Rodeo Road is presenting a burlesque drag show. There are tickets available for that if you call 428-7781. And proceeds from this are benefit the Food Depot, which is Northern New Mexico's food bank, fairly important in this time of food insecurity.
Indeed.
To get people fed and shelves stocked over there. So go check that out if you're a drag lover like me. I'm gonna try and make a show, probably Saturday, since I don't plan on leaving the house today.
Excellent.
Santa Fe Women's Ensemble is presenting its holiday concert at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday at Loretto Chapel. Love that chapel. You can get tickets by calling 954-4922. You can also get more information by going to sfwe.org.
And tonight at 7:30, the group Round Mountain is playing at Gig, which is at 1808 2nd Street in Santa Fe. That's at 7:30.
Ah! I'm a book nerd. I like books. Museum of Spanish Colonial Art is having its book sale daily until all books are sold, starting on Saturday, I believe. Is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. over there on Museum Hill, 750 Camino Lejo. If you just go over there to the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art, you can pick up some good stuff. They're closed Christmas Eve, Mary Charlotte, so you're going to have to get in a little bit earlier if you want to get some books.
Well, I'm closed Christmas Eve, too.
You're closed Christmas Eve? Oh, that's true. Christmas Eve Day.
Christmas Eve is Friday. It's a week from today. And Rob DeWalt, sorry, you will not be here. I will actually be doing, not quite closed, but doing Christmas music with Craig Smith. We're going to be just doing all kinds of Christmas music from medieval Gregorian chant to the present.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, I should mention that Carols and Lullabies concert that the Santa Fe Desert Chorale is doing at the Cathedral Basilica, there's also a performance tonight at 8 p.m., just
to
good.
Let
you know.
Yeah, wonderful to hear music at the cathedral, particularly at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yes.
Go ahead.
Good to have you. Okay, poetry reading, Saturday, tomorrow, in the lovely boondocks of El Rito. Poems and stories by Anne Valley Fox, Tom Ireland, Rene Gregorio, and John Brandy. Tomorrow, Saturday, the 18th of December, from 3 to 5 at the El Rito Public Library.
Cool.
Yeah.
The performances continue of 6 dance lessons in 6 weeks over at the Santa Fe Playhouse.
Yes.
It's a comedy. It's fairly uplifting. If you want to go, you can go to santafeplayhouse.org and see what dates there are. You can call 988-4262, which is the box office, and get more information and dates and stuff like that, tickets and all that good stuff. What else? Santa Fe Christmas, the Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra, of course, is having a Christmas Delight show at 3 p.m. at the Lenzic on Sunday. And there's going to be a pre-concert lecture at 3 p.m. The concert's at 4. If you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can get more information. A lot of these concerts are covered in the Paso Tiempo. If you go to page 34, you can read up on what's going to be on the bill there. So,
yet another holiday event. Open house, open studio sale and celebration today and tomorrow from 10 to 5. It's Tina Davila and her pottery, and it's 933 Nicole Place. Call 986-9856 for directions. She sells beautiful pottery with chickens, ravens, hummingbirds, cats, bunnies, and coyotes.
Whoa.
It looks kind of like, not quite, but kind of like Beatrix Potter, which I love. It's good.
Yeah, that's a lot of animals there.
That's a lot
but
of animals.
London's
They're not
National
all on the
Theater.
Same mug.
London's National Theater in HD, Hamlet, is on Friday at 7 p.m. over at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
And you can go to ticketsantafe.org to find more info on that. Did you already mention Mary McGinnis?
No, please do.
The poet is going to be reading from her work at 7 p.m. Tonight at Chato Contemporary Art, which is on West San Francisco Street. I believe it's 112 West San Francisco Street in Plaza Mercado. And to call 699-1560, you can find out more info on that. Here's a bit shopping, if you can get there. Pueblo of Tsuki's Flea Market is continuing through December. It's north of Santa Fe, off U.S. 84-285. You can go there. They have the Artisan's Market at the Farmer's Market, all kinds of great places to go for late holiday shopping.
I just got something from Gordon's Concerts, and the same people who produced the Los Alamos County Summer Concert Series, they're producing 2 special performances by the Golden Dragon Acrobats of China at the Duane Smith Auditorium, also known as Los Alamos High School Auditorium, tomorrow at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the evening. The shows are fundraisers to help finish paying for 2010 and start getting funds for the 2011 Los Alamos County Summer Series. And it's a great series that they do up there in Los Alamos. And I've never seen them, but I would bet you a serious amount of money that the Golden Dragon Acrobats of China are crazy awesome.
They are crazy awesome.
Are they?
I've seen them, and they are.
You've seen them?
Yes. Yeah, I saw them at the Lensic, I believe.
Wow.
So
you see, Rob DeWalt says it. Go ahead.
No, the New Mexico Artisans Market, the one that happens at the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion.
Yes.
The opening night of the holiday market is Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m., and it's continuing daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. through Tuesday, December 21st. So it's not just a Saturday thing. It's going to be running through the middle of that week. So you could go by and pick up some goodies or pick up some craftables
yes.
for your loved ones.
Don Curry, Pete Springer, Andy Prim playing today and tomorrow at La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda. Mark your calendars, 8 to 11.
Now, that's a celestial trifecta right there.
Is that a celestial trifecta?
That's a celestial rock and roll trifecta right there.
And as it says here, and I'm not going to read the whole list, but featuring classic songs of Tom Petty, David Bowie, The Beatles, Journey, Randy Newman, Simon & Garfunkel, Steely Dan, Moody Blues, Muddy Waters, Johnny Rivers, and so many more.
Yeah, they're sort of like, I would call them the best musical mimics in town. They can basically, they do covers, but it's more of a tribute. They really get into what they do. And
nice.
It's a sight to behold.
Excellent.
I already mentioned that. New Mexico, I'm sorry. I lost my place. From Confusion to Enlightenment, Steps in Inner Evolution. Oh, did you already talk about that?
I thought that one was passed.
Oh, I thought that was on Monday.
Oh.
Maybe it's a mistake. You never know.
I think it was on last Monday.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, I went over there the other day to Surette & Sons, where the same Tibetan monks that we were talking about who are doing their performance tomorrow night, they are doing their sand mandala at Surette & Sons. Have you ever seen them do that, sand mandala?
Huh?
They make it look so easy, and it is so hard. It takes so much concentration, and they're making this beautiful mandala. When I went over there a couple days ago, they'd finished the whole inner part, and it expands out. So it's probably, it's hard to estimate, but maybe a quarter done or something like that. And it's of course beautiful, and they take just grain by grain of sand, and they put down, and they make this mandala. And what I was thinking about the other day, because when we talked to them, they're not referring to a picture. They know it in their heads. They know how to do this whole thing. It's just sick. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm an impatient person, but I can sit there and watch them for hours. You know.
Yep, exactly. And there are people there. There was a woman there who was kind of meditating, and there are just people watching and people going in and out. And they also, another holiday thing, they've got stuff for sale there to benefit their monastery. And you can also sponsor a Tibetan student, because, of course, Tibetans in exile in India are trying to maintain their religious and secular culture and language and things like that, so people can sponsor the education of a student who is keeping up those traditions in India in exile.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. There's on Tuesday, the 21st, Santa Fe Opera is presenting Young Voices at Benessi. That's at 6:30 p.m., sorry, on Tuesday the 21st, over on Benessi, which is on West Francisco Street. A little Santa Fe Opera in the off-season. Never hurt anybody. You can go and check that out. Yeah, there's all kinds of live music to see. We have a bunch of great bands. You know, I think it's important in light of these two venues closing to go out and support your local musicians and your local venues as much as you can. And so if you go to the calendar in Pasatiempo, you can find all sorts of great music to give to your ears for Christmas.
To give to your ears.
That's right.
Let's talk about the screen. The screen is the wonderful movie theater at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And the producer of the film Hoop Dreams has made a movie, and it's called Journey from Zanskar. The Dalai Lama has instructed two monks from Zanskar's Stongde Monastery to do everything in their power to ensure that the Buddhist roots of Zanskari culture are preserved through education. The monks are building a school to educate the children from surrounding villages in their own language, culture, and history, just like we were talking about. Anyway, it's kind of like a race against the clock, and the film covers walking through a 17,000-foot pass, and these children are on, you know, ages 4 to 12. But it's basically a remarkable and heroic journey, and that opens tonight at the screen.
You know, here's a film that I got to recommend. It's a Finnish sort of horror comedy called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. And I think it opens tonight over at CCA Cinematheque. Have you heard of this film yet?
Yes. In fact, they sent me a screener of it. I meant to watch it last night, and I was just too tired. But it's supposed to be a really, really good film. I'm going to try to review it. But yeah, tell us when and where and all of that.
Well, I don't know. The when would be, you would have to call the theater for various show times, but it's at CCA Cinematheque, and it's not for the kids who love Santa Claus. Let's just put it that way.
Uh-huh.
There are some old Scandinavian folklore, some old folk tales about Santa Claus and who he really is. And
so you've screened it.
Yes, I screened it and I reviewed it in today's Possible.
Oh, good.
So you can get info on that, but it's scary. Lots of naked elves. Let's just put it that way. Not for the kids.
But it's a Christmas tale. So it's a Christmas tale for adults and people with a sense of humor and who don't mind slightly scary movies.
Yes. And Grinches,
I mean,
it's not
super scary, is it?
No, it's not really scary. It's just weird in the vein of, like, I compare it to John Carpenter's The Thing, that kind of mood and the vast expanse of, you know, a wintry sort of isolated place, and things go horribly wrong, and there's just a quiet panic that just sort of is painted over everything.
Right, right.
And so I recommend. I gave it 2.5 chilies. You know, there was it was a little bit of exposition that didn't happen that should have.
You're a tough critic.
I am a tough critic.
You're a tough critic. Ladies and gentlemen, when Rob DeWalt gives it 2.5 chilies, anybody else would have given it 3.5. No grade inflation with Rob DeWalt.
No comment. That's right. I don't grade on a curve.
You do not.
Not when it comes to film, anyway. So, but that's a holiday film that I recommend, especially for Grinches.
For Grinches. Whoa,
yeah.
Here comes the music. Well, I guess that's all for now. We will be back in the new year, and won't be here on Christmas Eve, but we will be with Craig Smith talking about Christmas music. Rob DeWalt, have a wonderful holiday, and we will see you in the new year. And thanks for being with us, Speaking of the Arts.
Thank you, and stay safe out there, everybody.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to George Weston for engineering today. He's sitting in for Mary Lynn LeBlanc, who is also snowed in somewhere. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. Have a great, safe weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Hasta la vista. Ciao.